It's time for another edition of Coach's Corner. Today we're going to be talking about how you can become an in-demand expert. Stay tuned. We have a great show planned for you. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner, Empowerment for Successful Entrepreneurs. Today we're going to be talking about becoming a memorable and in-demand expert. This is episode 62. Today's episode is sponsored by Marketing Thunder. MarketingThunder.com. You can get 7 days of full access to a lot of great training from a lot of mentors, including our guests today, for just $1. Highly recommend you go over and have a look at that. MarketingThunder.com. You're going to thank me for it later. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. I know I've welcomed you three times already because I'm that excited about what we have in planned here for you today. I've got a wonderful guest and we're going to have fun. We're going to be talking about something that is a big topic for a lot of people who are what I consider experts. And that's anybody basically that has a business. I always look at business owners as experts in their field. They're experts. They know what they're doing. They're really great at it. But they can also at the same time be the world's best kept secret. And that doesn't help them, right? They run into the idea of, well, how do I market myself? How do I promote myself? How do I get out there? How do I get the word out about what I do? And that's going to be our conversation today. And as I mentioned to you, my guest today is Adam Homey. And let me tell you a little bit about Adam. Adam is the founder and creator of the Business Creators Institute. He helps entrepreneurs and business creators like you and I emancipate the power of information and win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from the intersection of your brilliance and your passion. For years, Adam has been the secret weapon, in quotes, in the arsenal of dozens of entrepreneurial business creators, executive marketing solution providers, and professional service providers. He hosts the wildly popular Business Creators Radio Show and speaks at seminars and conferences around the country. I'm really happy to have him here today. Adam is also the author of the international Amazon best-selling book, Groundhog Day, and his event is an event, not a business strategy. I've really got to read that book, Adam. He is also a featured contributor in the international Amazon bestseller Journeys to Success, the Millennial Edition. I didn't have to tell you, Adam is a millennial. Welcome, Adam. Happy to have you here today.
Robert, it's always a pleasure. And you and I have shared stages a couple of times, and I was honored to be part of your Marketing Thunder Summit last year. So I'm very excited about what today holds because I know that we have a great synergy here, and we both have a mutually shared passion for helping our business creators serve from their intersection of their brilliance and their passion. So anything I can do to assist, I look forward to being here for you.
Well, I am so happy to have you because you answer questions that I think a lot, like I mentioned in the intro, a lot of business owners have. They're a little bit, flummoxed, I guess is a good word, when it comes to, well, how do I get the word out? How do I get people to know about me? What do I have to do? I ran into this back in 1991. You were probably very young back then. And I was learning under a guy named Dr. Jeffrey Lant. Some people know Dr. Lant. He's been a longtime marketing guy and very philosophical. And back then he had given a strategy and he said, you know, if you were to write articles and get these articles published in magazines, back then it was print magazines, they love the article and they'll give you a little 100-word bio at the end of it. And I really believed that strategy. I read the book and I said, okay, I've got to do this. I've got to do this. It took me 2 months to write my very first article. And that article is actually still published on the internet to this day. It's very outdated. Top 10 marketing mistakes and how to avoid them. And that is actually how I got my career going, how I got known in the marketing industry. I started to write articles. I got to the point where I was writing 1 to 2 articles a week and submitting them to a list of almost 1,500 publications. They didn't all get picked up, but occasionally it got picked up here, got picked up there. And all of a sudden, I was the in-demand expert in the marketing arena. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that today because that strategy probably still has some viability, but it's changed now because everything is digital, everything's online, and you are now the expert. So I'm deferring to you on this topic to say, Adam, what do we do? What are you doing? What are you seeing? But before we go there, let's get into how you got started on this trail.
I've been involved with podcasting and live streaming almost since these began. In fact, I was part of the launch team that created one of the original podcast booking companies. I've been host of the Business Creators Radio Show since September of 2013. I'm very excited to say that we are one of the longest running continuous podcasts out there. And as of this interview. We have nearly 300 guests going all the way back. We've done it every week without fail. And what I've discovered about the power of podcasting and live streaming is it enables you to very quickly create content is the first item, because it's not like you have necessarily have to write anything. I'm coming on to your show, which is Coach's Corner. You're going to ask me some questions. I'm going to answer them. You have great content for your audience, and I'm going to do everything I can to give them great actionable tips that they can implement today. And for myself, I have something that I can share that lets people see my intersection of my brilliance and my passion. Second of all, it's an incredible networking tool, and we'll cover this more as we go into it, because I know there's some things we discussed in the green room that we're going to cover. But really, if you want to succeed in monetizing with podcasting and live streaming and being a guest on those things, it's important to understand the networking aspect of what we do here. And the third, and this is something that we're starting to see get more and more recognized, is the power of this as a search engine optimization or search engine marketing tool. When you optimize your episodes that you are doing on other people's shows, where you have your title, your description, everything optimized around your key phrases, and you have a backlink coming from their high quality website to your high quality website, you are building the foundation. You've heard in some marketing how they say, do this and you're basically printing money. Well, basically, when you do this strategy and you do it effectively, you're effectively printing pages of search engine results based on your key phrases and building quality backlinks back to your website.
I think that's brilliant. I think a lot of people kind of miss that piece of it. You know, we'll do the podcast interview, we'll stick it up on Facebook, we'll put it on Twitter, LinkedIn, you know, whatever, and we kind of leave it at that. But yeah, you're right. If you do the SEO on that blog post, then it's going to start getting picked up in the search engines and give you even more exposure.
Correct.
Where'd you get started in this, Adam?
Okay, as I said, I got started as a host when I launched the Business Creators Radio Show in September of 2013.
There it is.
And it's just been kind of a fun path ever since. And I've said this many times on my own show, and I've said this in webinar interviews I've done, and I've even said it a few times speaking from the stage at events like Jim Palmer's Dream Business Academy is one example, is I went through a three-year period in my life where I kind of took a step back and was trying to decide what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I think a lot of business creators get there at some point where they recognize that, is this really the intersection of my brilliance and passion? What is the intersection of my brilliance and my passion? Have I created a job for myself? Do I want to continue in this business? Do I want to start another business? These are questions that frequently come up that we don't address out loud often enough. And while I was going through that period, what was instrumental in keeping my business going in terms of continually bringing in contacts who could become my clients for things that I was able to do very well, and also to allow me to continue to explore what some of my options were, and at the same time, keep my marketing going when I wasn't, to be candid, really sure what I wanted to market. Having the Business Creators Radio Show be a mainstay every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific kept the marketing and the prospect acquisition business or aspect of my business going, without me having to get too deep into what it was or how it was supposed to work. So it sustained my business, it sustained my marketing while I went through that exploratory period that ultimately culminated in me publishing the book Groundhog Day is an Event, Not a Business Strategy, but that's a whole separate conversation.
It really isn't, though, because you think about it, a lot of business owners go through this, and we might start something and we go, it's not getting any traction, not getting any traction. Then we decide, right. When should we pull up and stop doing it? When should we stop pushing forward? When do we quit? Why do we go in a different direction with it? That's a hard question to answer.
Yeah, it is very difficult. And you don't know whether you're cutting your losses and being smart, or you're just cutting and running too quickly. There's never really one absolute way of knowing what the correct answer to that is. Part of it is intuition, part of it is having a knowledge of your numbers, and part of it is accepting that once or twice you may make the wrong judgment call. But the important thing is you make the judgment calls. When you think like an entrepreneur and you think like an executive, you recognize that a decision is only good for as long as you go until you need to make another decision. So you're not necessarily bound by what you said earlier. I remember when I was in the corporate world and I was doing a corporate hustle, and I knew that I was heading for trouble as soon as I heard somebody say, well, that's the way we've always done it, without really paying attention to where we were today. See, yep. When somebody says that's the way we've always done it,
yep.
To me, all that says to me is that somehow you've managed to make it to today despite what you did.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, change my mind beyond that.
And a lot of that too is that we've gotten that far because we've made those decisions, so on and so forth. But right. Those decisions got you to where you are. If you want to get to the next level, time to make some new decisions.
Right.
Right. And you know, it's hard. Like you say, I really like that you brought up the fact that, you know, some entrepreneurs, we don't know when to quit, or sometimes we quit too soon. I think the number one thing that I've been seeing in my career coaching a lot of entrepreneurs is that we give up too quickly.
That's very true.
And we're just getting the ball rolling. It's just starting to go and we're not getting any traction. We're not getting any likes on Facebook. We're not getting any response on Twitter. And then we quit.
Well, sometimes we also dive in too fast. I remember when I launched a venture in 2010 that was called HelpMyWebsiteSell.com. It was a website conversion consulting company. I took my existing list and I sent them a newsletter, like an e-zine, with this new Help My Website Sell branding that I hadn't done any teasing or any pre-launching for. I sent this e-zine out, and I was used to getting really good open rates, click-through rates, usually getting some engagement out of just about every piece of email marketing I sent out. And about an hour after I sent this e-zine out, I asked my assistant, her name was Kate. Kate worked with was the time. I said, Kate, did I put on subscriber repellent today? What's up with all these unsubscribes?
I love it.
So yeah, we've all been there. I mean,
we all have been. Yes.
Right. And you have a choice. You can say, oh boy, I really screwed up. You could say, well, all right, that's interesting. That's an interesting learning experience. So yeah, things like product launch formula and pre-launching and seed-based marketing, these things really matter. Huh, go figure.
They do, and that's the thing, too. It's like oftentimes you'll look at your marketing 100 million times as you're creating it, and you actually get too close to it. So there was a concept I learned years ago that I started to do, and I call it sit time. And sit time is, you know, you do your marketing, you build it the way you think it needs to be, and then you just let it sit for 2 weeks. Don't touch it, don't look at it, because then you'll see it fresh again.
And you actually
see some of the issues that are there, because it always happens, right? When you get write something and you send it out and then you see you don't get any response, now you've got new information, now you've got a new frame, and you look at it and you go, yeah, I probably wouldn't respond to that either. How come I didn't see it before? And that's why we don't let it sit long enough. We're so anxious when we're creating it with so much motivation, so much energy around it, so much excitement. We just can't wait to get it out there. And sometimes we're pushing things too quickly.
Yeah, that's very true. And at the same time, there has to be a confidence about moving quickly on certain things. You make a decision, you move forward with it. At the same time, you allow yourself the space to, as you said, you may want to create it and then sit on it for a moment, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, as you would say, in order to just sort of look at it from a fresh set of eyes, different point of view, and see if you're going to catch something on the second pass you might have missed on the first pass. With the consulting I do with entrepreneurial and small business ventures, one of the things we build into how we have tasks handed between team members is that every step of the process includes review. We may think traditionally, okay, so let's say we have a newsletter going out. Let's stick with the newsletter example. One person's going to curate the content, and another person's going to write the article and give it to the curator. The curator's going to build this document, who's going to give it to the virtual assistant or the web designer, who's going to format the HTML, and then somebody else is going to review that HTML, and then it's going to go back and it's going to get sent. And what frequently happens when people design those processes is there's no actual review until you get to about step 4. So we urge people to do is everybody reviews it. So at any time as you're going through it and you spot something, you have a suggestion for improvement or you catch a typo or what have you, if you have the power to fix it, just fix it. If it's something that needs to be referred to another person because of their responsibility, you go ahead and do that. But just by having multiple actors in the process, you get different sets of eyes on it by default so that more of that stuff gets caught. And you know, if once in a while you send out a typo, well, I have a case where I had a client, he sent out a newsletter every week. And the subject line of the newsletter always started with the letter D because his first name starts with D. And so he was used to having not cleared his cache. So when he went into his email marketing system and he went to where it said type in the subject line, he could just type the letter D and it would autofill everything if he just clicked on what it tried to autofill. Well, one day he forgot to autofill and he sent out a newsletter where the subject line was literally the lowercase letter D.
Oh, wow.
Well, son of a gun, if he didn't add five people to his recurring program as a result of that, because it became a pattern interrupt.
Nice.
So sometimes you take what you can get from it. Now, he could have said, how did this happen? And we need to institute new quality procedures. I can't have this humiliation in my business. Everybody's going to laugh at me and everybody's going to make it fun of me. But the way he took it was, okay, well, my open rates went up 7%. I got these three new customers. So I'm not going to go out and deliberately make mistakes, but I'll be more careful to fill in the subject line correctly going forward. But aside from that, I'm going to take the W on this.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the entrepreneur who really wants to get known, the concept that, or the title of topic we were going to bring up today.
Yes. Is
really that. We want to look at the entrepreneur and say, you know, these guys are experts. They know what they're doing. They might be a master at, you know, maybe they've mastered building funnels or maybe they've mastered copywriting and such and so on and so forth. But nobody knows about them and they don't make a lot of sales. And you might say, well, they need their mailing list. Great. But how do you build a mailing list when no one knows about you? Right. So we have, I think today is easier to get known than at any time in history.
Yeah.
In the old days, I mean, you wanted to get on radio and television. You really needed to work at that. You really needed to convince a producer that you were good enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it took a lot of back and forth, a lot of phone calls. And maybe you got a 3-minute spot on television. That would be like, you know, the win of the all wins.
Yeah, I know.
You know, or if you wanted to get published in a print magazine, you know, there was a lot of content that they were getting. They would screen through it. And your article was lucky to get picked up. But now there's a lot more need for content. I think the internet has really changed that. There's a lot of blogs out there. And as we've been talking about podcasts are huge. We need content all the time. We're always needing new guests. We always need something to bring to our listeners, our viewers, our readers. We want to make sure that our visitors at the website have new content on the blog all the time.
Yep.
So I think, you know, when I look at it, I say the world is a lot easier place today for you. But a lot of people still get stumped and they go, well, I don't even know where to begin.
All right. Well, first of all, let me point out what you're doing here with Coach's Corner. This is a podcast/live stream. It actually achieves both goals. So you use as a podcast, you also use as a video live stream, which is great. So you're actually touching two of those areas simultaneously, which we're starting to see more and more of. That's awesome. You have a video set up. You, I guess, like to be on camera. I personally, as you can see, God gave me a face for radio. Thank God he also gave me the voice. At least he gave me the whole package, the whole four radio package. Thank goodness.
Adam, be nice now. Be nice. You look great. You look great, my friend.
All right. Thank you. I'll take the compliment. So I brought that up, actually, because some folks may have a concern about going on camera because they may not like the way they look, or they may say, wait a minute, I heard the camera adds 10 pounds, but where these other 40 came from? I mean, what's up with that? And what's interesting about this modality, when you use podcasting and live streams as a way to increase your visibility, is it is either live or it is fairly unscripted. Usually there are some questions you're going to go by that the host has, that the guest gives the host, and the host kind of goes by those questions. A lot of times you do have that structure, but it is really a conversation, and it's your imperfections that can sometimes be the most engaging aspect of the experience, because people see, hey, you're a real person just like me. You're somebody I can relate to. So this is were actually imperfection. Again, going back to my client who sent the subject line with the lowercase letter D, you don't go looking to make mistakes, but if they happen, they can sometimes actually raise your engagement level. So you take it for what it's worth. Now, what's beautiful about the podcasting and the live streaming is more and more you're seeing them become the new as seen on or as seen in. Now you go to people's websites and you see all the mainstream media logos plus five local logos plus the Sacramento Bee. And I think there's a few people that are eventually going to put the Babylon Bee because they're going to get confused. And I bet you one of these days somebody is actually going to claim the Onion as a media.
That's right.
But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're all going to have a good laugh over it. But the point is that more and more being on podcasts and live streams, especially if you're a niche celebrity and there are recognized shows within your niche, your ability to say as seen in this show, this show, this show, this show, this show, this show, illustrate to your audience and your niche or your market that you are, in fact, an in-demand expert and all the leading shows want to interview you. So as seen in what? As seen on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. I mean, we could go Breitbart, Mother Jones, Daily Caller. I mean, you could pick any ideology or any slant or any niche or what have you. But is that really relevant to your audience? The fact is that being on podcasts and live streams in your niche where you're seeking your celebrity status can get you there a lot faster. And not only that, but it'll actually be a lot more believable because a lot of times we see the major media logos and we say, well, they might have paid for that thing where they get like 3 seconds of exposure at 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, or they might have done a series of press releases, which is also a legitimate way to acquire those logos. But you can point to a podcast episode. Like I can now point to Coach's Corner and say, I was seen on Coach's Corner. You can watch the interview. So that's one of the beauty parts of that. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a search engine marketing aspect of it where most of these shows will in fact have either their own website or a section on their host website where you're going to get quality backlinks from authority websites coming back to your website. No matter what happens with search engine optimization, no matter what animals, pandas, alligators, whatever the Google releases, I've seen it come through 10 times. They say, backlinks are dead. No, at the end of the day, backlinks are what is still sitting there after all the dust settles and the flash in the pan passes. So, and these websites tend to be online for a very long time. Let me share one other thing with you, is what I like to call the F2, P2, C2, or F squared, P squared, C squared. And this has to do with who is going to be watching, listening to, or downloading that podcast or live stream that you're appearing on right now. It's your fans, followers, that's your F squared, prospects, purchasers, that's your P squared, clients, customers, that's your C squared. It's also the entire internet with its search engines, social networks, plus it's the host of the show you're on. Yo, Robert, you're part of my audience right now, plus other hosts of other shows you'll be on because sometimes guests are sourced by looking at other people's shows and seeing who's on. In addition, for those who are interested in speaking from stage, whether you're going to do selling from stage, you're going to do paid speaking engagements, more and more we're seeing meeting planners and conference hosts actually look up the podcasts and live streams you're on. I know somebody who has built a prosperous and successful stage speaking career, even though she has absolutely no video of herself speaking on a stage. It just has never worked out. The cameras always failed, or the sound always failed, or they didn't have a videographer. She has had no luck. She even paid a videographer to try and show up and film her once, and the person didn't even show up. I mean, it's like she's cursed. She's never going to get a speaker demo reel. But she is able to get booked on stage after stage after stage after stage because meeting planners and conference hosts are able to see her on live streams. So they get a sense of what she's like, what she'll look like on stage in terms of her presence. And the fact that she is on so many of those shows within the niche where she's looking to get these speaking engagements makes her an in-demand expert. So they want her on their stage.
That is really great. And I really love your idea of, the as seen in and putting these on here. Yeah. I actually source some of the guests I find for my show because I've heard them on other podcasts as well. And I know when I appear on other podcasts, all of a sudden I get guest requests as well. People want to have me on their podcast.
Right.
Just a quick note about the podcast industry. It's exploding right now.
Yes, it is.
You know, Spotify is investing hundreds of millions of dollars buying up other companies, and they're trying to unseat Apple as sort of the iTunes is sort of the center of the universe when it comes to podcasts. Yep. And Apple doesn't mind. They really want somebody else to take it over because it's really not been something that they've invested a whole bunch of effort into.
Right.
It really hasn't changed much in all the years that we've been seeing it.
Right. Everybody says I'm on iTunes. Well, I'm on iTunes too. You're on iTunes. Everybody I know is on iTunes. And part of the reason we're seeing the Spotify shift, based on my research and my inquiries, is the challenge with especially Android devices. Like I have Samsung Galaxy Notes. Those are my smartphones. Is for the longest time, the only way you could get iTunes on there is using some sort of hack. I mean, now they have apps and everything, but for the longest time, you couldn't get your iTunes on your Android device. Google Podcasts is there, but in my estimation, hasn't really taken off like folks would expect it to, although it is very popular and it has a lot of folks. That being said, Spotify has taken off. And they do have a very convenient application for Androids. I have it myself. I have it on both my smartphones, actually. And what's really cool about that is it is actually pretty simple to get your podcast listed on Spotify, as long as you have a clean RSS feed and you have good content and you have a good subject matter. It's not hard to get approved on Spotify. There is a science to it, and there's a few things you need to have lined up before you even approach Spotify. But once you have all that put together, it's pretty easy. And because Spotify itself is a platform that is so cross-compatible that you make it easy for people to switch effortlessly from their music to their learnings, or from their music to their entertainment, depending on what your podcast does. Or if you are entertainingly educational, you get both.
I love it. And it really is true. I mean, that was the biggest challenge, was getting the podcast into the hands of people who had Android phones. It's like, okay, Google Play is the only way we can do it, but nobody uses Google Play. So we needed something else to come along. Yeah, TuneIn Radio has been there for a while now. Stitcher's been there.
Yep.
But Spotify is really taking the forefront here. They didn't have podcasts on there 2 years ago. This is just fairly new. They're running away with it, and they're buying other podcast companies like Anchor.fm. They just bought, which is a great app for actually creating your podcast. You don't need any fancy gear. You can do it right on your phone, any phone.
Very true.
It's really amazing.
Yeah, very true. Spotify has actually made a couple of those acquisitions recently. And I believe it was last October of 2018, when they really opened up their podcast platform to the masses. Up until then, it was a pretty exclusive thing, but it was last year that they actually opened it up to the masses. And that has just opened up a groundswell, because if you look at the Spotify revenue model, it's based on advertising. So Spotify benefits, because a lot of people don't pay a monthly fee for Spotify. They just say, oh, I'll put up with the commercials. So yeah, you may have a few commercials injected while people are listening to your podcast, but a lot of listeners are, well, fine, I'll take a commercial break. I'm used to watching commercials on TV, big deal. So one way or the other, Spotify will get their money. And that makes Spotify motivated to get into this market and make it accessible to the masses.
Well, it goes back to what we were talking about before, is like there's a massive need for content. And I know so many people, everyone I talk to today is like, yeah, I'm starting a podcast. Yeah, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. you know, so they're going to need guests. They're going to need content as well. And there's going to be a lot more opportunity for you to get the word out. I mean, the truth is, you don't need hundreds of thousands of listeners to a podcast to be successful. I mean, I've been on podcasts where they had, you know, 100 listeners and ended up getting business from it.
Yeah, let me give you a couple examples of that. And this goes back to one of the big things that we sometimes see when it comes to folks wanting to get booked on shows. And I've had this happen with the Business Creators Radio Show. I noticed that I was starting to get people who would fill out our application on businesscreatorsradioshow.com to be a guest. People we hadn't heard of that just came in off the transom. And they filled out the application. We designed it so anybody could just apply. We wanted to lower the barriers to entry so we could get the widest possible source for potential guests and get as many voices in as possible. We were doing that to open the marketplace. So we get these applications, and I'd go through the vetting process, which is something that at In Demand Expert, we teach people how to vet themselves so as to make it simpler for guests, for hosts to want to book them. And I'd go through it all. I'd say, you know what? Yeah, I would like to have this person on my show. Mm-hmm. So I'd get back to the contact person, who apparently was their virtual assistant. And I would say, okay, great. Absolutely. I love it. Here's our scheduling link. Let's get it going. And then next day, this assistant would come back to us and say, well, you know, so-and-so would like to be on your show, but you have to understand they're very busy and they only go on shows that have X number of downloads and listens. So please send us your spreadsheets indicating your listener statistics so that we can make a decision if this is the best use of our time. It's like you apply to be on my show. I said yes. So you could have approached me earlier and said, this is what they should have done. They should have approached my show earlier and said, I have some clients who could be guests on your show. I deal with a specific type of guest that I'm going to be pitching to you. And these are what our guests are looking for. These are what our guests have to offer. Do we have a match? Rather than wasting my time four times in a row. And that's another thing about becoming a memorable in-demand expert. And that's part of the formula to being memorable even before you're booked. Because with so many people looking to be guests on podcasts and be guests on live streams, you have to be memorable and stand out even during the initial approach to a potential host or a potential producer. You want to make it so easy for them to book you. You want to get it to the point where it's almost like intuitively they're looking forward to hearing from you so they can get you on the show. And what's great about that is once you get some hosts on your side, they'll share you with other hosts. I get recommendations from fellow podcast hosts all the time, people that they think would be great for the Business Creators Radio show. I also get warnings. And I just wanted to point that out too. I also get warnings. So-and-so is high maintenance. Be careful with them.
It's almost like having a credit report for whether or not you're a worthy podcast guest. It's really interesting.
It could kind of get there. And one of the recommendations I share is, you know, look at everything you're doing in terms of your social media communication. And I know we covered this in great length when we did the expanded version of this for Marketing Thunder. So anybody, you know, if you have the Marketing Thunder, go back and see my interview. Or if not, ask Robert how to get Marketing Thunder, because that's a great presentation. And we cover it if you choose to get involved in things like politics or religion or other hot button issues as part of your social media discourse. And one of the things that I look for when I'm vetting somebody to decide if they're going to be on the Business Creators Radio show is how they're communicating. I don't care. Let's just narrow it to politics. I don't care what side they're on. I don't care if what they're saying is something I agree with or not. The question I'm asking is, the stuff that they're posting on a regular basis, how will I feel knowing that interjected with all that stuff is, hey, I was on Adam Homey's Business Creators Radio show. Go check it out. Do I want my name next to what they're posting? And that is something that hosts will not tell you that they look for, but they do. And
I think our feed with Adam has frozen. We're going to see if we can get him back here. The fun of doing live streaming, but Adam's, he's going to hopefully just reset his connection. We should be good to go. But he's bringing up some really good points there about podcasting. And it's like, you really have to be prepared. And what he mentioned before about, you know, that person wanting to be a guest on the podcast and then later asking whether or not, you know, what his numbers were and what his subscriber base was. I think this really goes back to the, you know, if you're the person requesting to be a guest on a certain podcast, I think it would be a really good idea to do your due diligence ahead of time and find out, you know, what the reviews are on the podcast, who's listening to it, what the audience is, that kind of thing. Because it is easy to, you know, try to go and look for that stuff after the fact, but it doesn't help, right? You really need to get the information ahead of time because you're going through the process. You're taking the time to say, hey, I'd like to be a guest on this podcast. I'd like to be here. I'd like to be part of this. And then you're going out and saying, well, now that I've been accepted as a guest, now I'm going to start really doing my due diligence. And it's like, that's the wrong way to go about it. I think you're putting the work, you know, on the potential host. And that's really not where you want to go. You want to be able to do that ahead of time. So I can be very picky. I can do that too. And I, the same way Adam mentioned with somebody coming on and wanting to be a guest of mine, it's always one of those things. It's like, you know, do you want them to be a guest? Do you want them to be on your podcast? And I do the same due diligence he does. I'll go look at their feed. I'll go look at the kind of things they're talking about. I'll also look at the people that they're reaching. Who are they reaching? What, you know, what audience is following them? What kind of conversations are they having on social media? Are they active on Twitter? Are they active on Facebook? And I would also like to see if they've got anything published. And you may go in Google and type in the guest's name and it will give you all the websites that, you know, mention them. Now, for me, when I created, when I wrote my book, Motivational Marketing, before I wrote it, I had to go out and, you know, go get the, oh, Adam's having trouble logging back in. We're just going to see if we can reconnect him here. See if we can get him back on. So when I did the proposal for my book, Motivational Marketing, the first thing that the publisher did was they went out and they started to ask questions about, you know, how popular are you out there? Are you do you show up a lot in Google or not? And for me, it, I had at the time 49,000 different results came up when you typed in my name in Google. So when they saw that, they gave me a really great contract to write a book because it's like, this guy obviously is important out there. So yeah, it worked out really well for me. So Adam, I was just kind of filling in everyone with, you know, what worked for me as far as being an expert in the kind of things that I've done. And, you know, like I said, that Google is really important. That Google, when somebody types in your name in Google and looks, does a due diligence to find out more about you, which is what I do with my guests before I bring them on. That's what I'm doing because I want to know everything that you mentioned. I want to know what they're posting on Facebook. I want to know what they're posting on Twitter. I want to know who's following them. I want to know if, you know, people are hating on them, you know?
Exactly. Now let me highlight something you said. You said, I want to know who's following them. This is another place where podcasts and live streams are so powerful as a business development tool. Because when you are looking to be on somebody's show or you're looking to reach somebody, like let's say that I didn't know Robert Imbriali and I wanted to reach him. He's a major celebrity. I would really like to connect with the guy. One of the things I might ask myself is, who does he hang around with? Who's in his circle? When I check out his social media, who is he always dialoguing with on his posts? These are the people who are probably somewhat in the closer circle. And then I look and I say, okay, so so-and-so has a show. I'll pitch that show. This other person has a show. I'll pitch that show. And when I can get on a show and I'll deliver amazing content, I'll be memorable and I'll be a great expert for them. I'll share a lot of great tips and make it a episode they'll be proud to share. They'll turn to me and say, well, what can I do for you? And I'll say, you know this guy named Robert Imbriali, I believe. Is there any chance you could just get me in a room with him for 5 minutes? So if you're looking to reach somebody, that's a way to do it. I have another client who does a live event every year. And the way he gets new people in seats at his events is he will commit to being a guest on 100 podcasts. And when he's a guest on 100 podcasts, that's 100 prospects. And what I mean by that is his prospect is his host. This is the point I want to circle back to. I was saying earlier about the person who kept asking us for our download statistics and things like that, and how I was saying they're kind of missing the point of all this. Your most important listener, whether that show has 5 guests or 5 million guests or 10 listeners or 10 trillion downloads, is your host. Your host can do more for you than anybody else who is listening, because they are the only ones who you know for sure are going to be there for the whole thing, number one. They are the ones who will decide the extent to which they will promote the episode. They will be the facilitator of you getting the word out through their channels and showing that you are an in-demand expert. And they are the only person in that audience with whom you will get green room time.
How true. How true. I love what you're bringing up. You're giving so much value here. I appreciate that so much. I want to talk about this idea, this concept that you just mentioned called being memorable. And when people hear that, I think they go, ooh, I'm not memorable. I'm boring. Or I don't have a great voice for this. Or I don't know how to present. Or when I speak very monotone and I'm kind of low and I'm really kind of boring. And I don't really think I need to be on a podcast because I'll bore everyone. Right? So how do you define being memorable? Do you have to be funny? Do you have to be outrageous? Do you have to share content that wows an audience? Do you really need to know how to present? In your words, Adam.
Part of it's being authentic, and part of it is making subtle shifts at the same time as you're being authentic, and you're authentically making subtle shifts. Let me give you an example of this. When I speak at marketing conferences, I'll get up on stage and I will try and work this into every single presentation, regardless of topic, because it's so important. And I'll say, folks, the absolute last thing that you need or want in your business, that if you have this in your business, you should just get rid of it right now, is traffic to your website. People say, what? Are you, what this guy just say the earth is flat? What's going on? And that causes people to pause and lean in. Now, they may be thinking a little bit, but then I say, let me explain. Traffic, what's traffic? To me, traffic is 10,000 cars forcing their way onto a roadway designed for 1,000 cars and everybody's late for work. It's the reason I work from my home office. Website, what's a website? Is that a sales page? Is that an about page? Is that a products page? Is that a privacy policy page? A home page? A blog page? A podcast page? A live stream page? What is a website? All of those things can be websites, and one website can contain all of those things. So rather than aiming for traffic to your website, I urge you to instead seek visitors to your web pages who are pre-qualified, meaning right message, right audience, right time, pre-qualified, prepped, which means when they see that social media status you just posted, that email you just sent them, or they're typing that URL from that flyer, or they heard you say that URL on your podcast or live stream interview, that they know what they're getting and they know it's going to be good, and pumped, which means hopefully your web page will load very quickly. That web page goes directly to what you're going to ask them to do or what you're going to give them, so they can use your easy peasy, user-friendly way of getting their hands on it. So what we're doing is we're taking something, I mean, yeah, and I'm actually on tape saying that yes, you should have traffic to your website. But what I say is you simply redefine the terms. I'll give you another example. Robert, have you ever heard the phrase know, like, and trust?
All the time, yep.
Uh-huh. And
one of those marketing concepts has been there forever.
And yeah. And it's classic, it's timeless, it's factual, it's the basis of just about everything we do in marketing, and everybody's saying it. So what I refer to instead is what I will, depending on the audience, call the sales conversion conversation or the website conversion conversation. They both mean substantially the same thing. And I simply put a label over that whole process of helping people get to know you so they find their reasons to trust you so they decide. Wait, let me do that again. You help people get to know you so they can come to like you for their reasons, and then they can discover their decision to trust you enough to invest in you. Know, like, and trust. So I just simply create a title, website conversion conversation, sales conversion conversation, and put it on top of the know, like, trust formula. So if you can do little things like that, and it's just a matter of putting your own titles and your own descriptions on things, that's important. I'll be candid about something else. There are a lot of podcast booking agencies out there. And we looked at how we were going to message this and what we were going to present as really the value proposition for people to invest in In-Demand Expert. And that's actually kind of where we came up with the name In-Demand Expert. So we took one step above the idea of getting booked on podcasts and live streams, and we positioned that as the tool or the function, and we focused the marketing on the result.
Nice.
Yeah, and what's also nice about that is modalities change, because right now podcasts and live streams are the big thing. In 3 years, some technology that we probably saw in the Jetsons that we've since forgotten about will emerge, and that'll be the new hot thing.
Why is it that all our technology comes from the Jetsons, right?
Exactly, it's so exactly. if the result is still that you become an in-demand expert, we can move into that repertoire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Tell me more about In-Demand Expert, because I think this is where the conversation needs to go next, because people are going to go, okay, this is great. I know I need to get the word out. I know I need to write blog posts. I know I need to be a guest on podcasts. Oh, where do I start?
Well, first of all, and this will be somewhat of a reiteration of what I said earlier, when you become an in-demand expert, it allows you to do basically three things. Create customer and referral relationships. Establish your niche celebrity brand and dominate search engines organically. We covered to a certain degree all of those things. And on our website, indemandexpert.com, we mention 18 different things you gain when you become a memorable in-demand expert. I may come up with more, but right now we've come up with 18. And I want to mention just three of them, if you'll let me.
Sure.
One of them is sell without selling. We all hear this phrase, sell without selling. I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to sell. And some folks will say, well, gee, well, why are you in business if you don't want to sell? Here's how I look at it. When you are guesting and you're giving great information from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion, you are helping to persuade the audience to invest in you for their reasons by creating resonance. So it's just the fact that they get to hear you and the fact that you're going to show up on multiple outlets so they can consume the message at different times when they are in different places will help move them closer to you and help them get to know, like, and trust you as a result of your sales conversion conversation. Here's another example. And I'm going to throw this out there because I think it'll just, I think some people are going to relate to this. Protecting your time. You know, I go to so many networking things here in Las Vegas, and folks that, and folks will, you know, be in conversation with me. It's like, so when can we meet for coffee? It's like, I don't drink coffee. So that's out. And this 30-minute meeting is actually more like a half day when you think about it, because I have to have ramp up and ramp down. I have to travel to and from. It might be more than 30 minutes. I might get stuck in traffic. We might hit it off and be there for 3 hours. Who knows? So my recommendation, I do this all the time, is when people say that they want to pick my brain. Well, you ain't sticking nothing in my brain, I'll tell you that right now. I don't even like getting shots. You're not going to be putting probes in my brain. You're not picking my brain. Or you want to meet for coffee, I'll say, got a podcast? I'll say, well, you know, yeah, why? Well, tell you what, let's skip the coffee. And if we want to meet in person, we'll do it, socially sometime. It doesn't have to be this big business thing. But in the meantime, how about, you want to sit down with me? You want to get to know me somewhat, and you want to gain some discoveries from me. I mean, let's be candid. The reason you want to meet me for coffee is because you want to pick my brain, because otherwise, why would you do it? Right. Let's be honest about it. So you want to pick my brain? Give me some love. Get me a sit down with your audience so that I can share with them my intersection of my brilliance and my passion. I will give you the great stuff, not the good stuff, the great stuff, in exchange for letting your audience know that I'm around and giving me the introduction. So now there's a mutual benefit to that. That's the second one. And here's another one that folks often do not think too much about. And this is something that we're really leaning on when it comes to in-demand expert. And you can look at this through two of the 18 areas we've identified, which is if you have a side hustle that you're trying to build with limited time and limited funds, or you're in a startup mode where you either have already allocated most of your marketing budget, or you just don't have a lot of money for SEO or Facebook ads or publicity agents and all that, that being a guest, being a memorable in-demand expert on podcasts and live streams will essentially work as a 24/7 salesperson for you. And the reason you want to be memorable is you have a host like me. I've been the host of the Business Creators Radio Show for 5.5 years. I've interviewed about 300 people. They're all fantastic, because only great people are on the Business Creators Radio Show. I'll just come out and say that. They're all great. Any episode you listen to, you're going to gain a ton from. I make sure of it by the process by which we conduct the Business Creators Radio Show, that we will get that guest brilliance in their passion, we will share it with you. So rest assured, all the episodes are good. But realistically, there's about 20 that I think of all the time that really stand out as memorable. Now, when I am sharing things on social media and I'm recycling content, which episodes do you think get the most play?
The memorable ones, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've had this happen, and It's funny when you think about it. I was at an event. It might have been the Traffic and Conversion Summit 3 years ago. I'm not sure exactly. But it was one of those cases where that person you've known through the internet for years and you finally get to meet them in person. Well, that person had actually been on the Business Creators Radio Show a couple years before that. They totally did not have any memory of having been on my show. I had to find the link to my show and send it to them to prove that they had been on my show. And they're like, oh, yeah.
Wow.
Now, I did not take that in any way as an insult or a slight or that anything was wrong there. It was just simply a matter that that person probably had done so many episodes. I could have been one of like five shows they did in one day for all I know. Or maybe they were going through an interesting time in their life and things just weren't clicking in their long-term memory. Who knows? But the funny thing is, and this leads to a point here, is that when you put this stuff out there, you never know when you're going to gain benefit from it. I've had a client for 3 years in my consulting business. Very lucrative relationship. We've done a lot of great things together. We've moved this startup into actual revenue. They've been doing conferences and seminars and all kinds of great things. You know how that relationship started? The owner of the company was thinking about going into growth mode. She heard me on a podcast somewhere, liked the cut of my jib, Googled my name and found out that there's a website out there that literally is devoted to nothing else and for people to get on my calendar, booked herself in. We had conversations and she became a client. To this day, she cannot tell me what podcast she heard me on or what the topic was. She can't even remember whether it was my podcast or me appearing on somebody else's. It was out there somewhere. It got me a great client.
Well, that's the big thing about podcasts, too, is that they have a shelf life that's like forever.
Yes, they do.
Unlike being on radio or television. Television, you're lucky, you know, and you put the logo on your website. Hey, I've been on Fox News. Right, for 3 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people that say they've been on Fox News, and of all those people say they've been on Fox News, I know exactly two of them where I can go to their website and see the actual clip.
Right.
Right. So were they on Fox News because they were brought on to one of the shows? Like in one case, he's a motivational speaker and a trainer in the area of project management, and he was interviewed on Fox Business. You can see the interview, and I can't remember if it was Lou Dobbs or somebody like that who interviewed him, but it was actually a name interview. It was a big deal for him to be on that show. There are other people I know who are regulars on their local news, but they get booked on every couple weeks because they have made themselves memorable. They made themselves host friendly and audience friendly. So they are the go-to whenever they are doing a story relevant to that person's particular topic. They say, hey, I'm going to call this person. We have a story going on about this. This is right in their bailiwick. Let's see if we can get them down here this week.
Yeah. And it really is. I run into that too. And I'm the kind of guest who gives way too much information and the hosts love it. And I always get asked to come back. It's like, it's almost 100% of the time people say, you got to come back. And that's really one of the things for me that works in as far as being memorable is you deliver. You don't deliver an advertisement because that's not what you're there for. You deliver content that the listeners, viewers, readers can enjoy and benefit from. And they'll always have you back if you do that.
Right. And you know, what's also good is when you are familiar with your topic and you're ready to speak extemporaneously. Like, I gave you an outline of the questions that you should ask me as a guest on your show. Just like as a memorable guest, you should always have suggested interview questions ready for your host. You didn't really ask me too many of those questions in the order that we gave. However, we have covered pretty much everything that would have come out had you just asked me the questions in order. So being able to roll with the interview and get your talking points out is also an important part of being memorable. And that simply comes from being very familiar with your topic, being intimate with your topic, and being able to transform your topic into stories. People love to hear stories. When they're listening to a podcast, they're not studying for a philosophy exam. They want to be entertained at the same time they're educated. They want it to be fun. So when I get up on stages and I say, the last thing you need or want in your business, in fact, if you have this, throw it out, is traffic to your website. And I do the little lean in and I lower my voice, which is one of the Jordan Belfort tactics that he teaches you when you're really leaning in for the trust and going for the sale. And then they lean back to me because now I'm lowering my voice and I'm bringing us together. And they're saying, I wonder what drugs this guy's taking and where I can get some. That must be some good stuff to say that you don't want traffic to your website. But I got to hear this one. And by explaining the difference between traffic to your website and visitors to your web pages and the 3P formula, I managed to get some education in along with the fun. So it becomes more memorable.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk now about In-Demand Expert and what you're doing with that and how, our viewers can take advantage of that and work with you.
Okay, great. Absolutely. Absolutely. So InDemandExpert.com is a podcast and live stream booking agency. We are aggressively building our family of guests who are looking to be booked on shows. So we have some great opportunities for you to get involved in that. And if you are a host looking for memorable guests, I'd love to speak with you as well, because we have been very, very assertively building our host network. We've had about 30 hosts sign on in the past week saying, yes, I would like to interview guests. And when you think about some of the statistics around us, for instance, there are about 630,000 active podcasts today, and between those 630,000 podcasts, they have about 19 million episodes that are published. And wow. what you also need to be aware of is, according to the same survey, 48 million people in the United States listen to at least one podcast every week. And what's interesting about the demographics of those podcasts listeners is they have a tendency towards being loyal to the show, which means they tune in. They have a tendency to be more affluent, and they have a tendency to be more educated. And for those of us who have been in business for a while, you know that once you can have the sales conversion conversation that builds know, like, and trust, that the affluent customer is one of the easiest to work with. In fact, I cover several stories inside Groundhog Day as an Event, Not a Business Strategy, about affluent Vic and how his web designer had to get used to his sort of brash and gruff style. But once she understood where he was really coming from, she recognized that he was actually one of the best guys you could do business with. And because, you know, affluent people, some of them actually just love to be affluent for the sake of being affluent. I'm just going to come out and say that. And I think even some of your affluent listeners are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. But at the same time, that comes from the place of confidence, of power, of strength, and of a willingness to make the world a better place than they found it. And we can get on that wavelength. You can do some great things together.
Awesome. All right. Go have a look at www.indemandexpert.com. You can see a quick snapshot of the homepage there. Become a memorable in-demand expert by guesting on podcasts and live streams. Adam's going to help walk you through this step by step and really help you get the word out, because it's great to be an expert, but it's much better when people know what you have to offer. And I agree, selling without selling is really important. And you do that by, I call it auditioning. And when you do a podcast or you're a guest on a podcast, you are auditioning your brilliance, and people will see it and go, oh my gosh, I really got to work with this guy. Or at very least, they want to come out to your website and find out more about you, what you're doing, what you're about, what you talk about. Do you have other seminars? Are you on other podcasts? That kind of thing. And it builds your following. So you look at it and you say, well, how do you really become successful? You need people who follow you. You need your fans. How do you get fans? You get out in front of people. And not every one of those people who see you is going to become a fan, but those that like you will become a fan, and that audience will grow, and that becomes your tribe, and that becomes where all your business is going to come from. So I really appreciate what you're bringing to the forefront here, Adam. This was really great. Thank you so much for being a guest here today.
Robert, thank you for having me on Coach's Corner. This is a great show. I love what you do. You do great work, and I tune in regularly. You've got great guests, and I do encourage people to tune into your show as well, because there is a lot of memorable content that people will enjoy. I personally love it, and I encourage others to do so as well.
And where should we find Business Creators Radio Show?
Google it, you'll find it. Business Creators Radio Show. The URL is businesscreatorsradioshow.com. And if you'll allow me to leave one final bonus tip.
Absolutely.
And this is especially important if you are getting on television shows. I mean, you see experts on television shows, and you don't often hear them saying the URL of their website over and over again. In fact, in many cases, they're under specific instructions. Don't say your website. This is where taking concepts that everybody else is talking about and renaming it comes into play. So let's say that I was on a TV show, and I leaned in and I said, okay, for everybody in the audience, the last thing you need or want in your business, in fact, if you have it, get rid of it, traffic to your website. So then I say, what you really need to follow are the three P's of website conversions. So if I've done interviews where I talk about the three P's of website conversions and it comes up in the show notes, if I've done episodes on people's shows where that was actually the show title, the three P's of website conversions, if I have articles on my blog, if I have articles on LinkedIn and Medium and other places about the three P's of website conversions, what I've done is I've created a way that makes it very easy for you to find my website without me having to say my URL. Because all you have to do is look up those three P's of website conversions. You'll find a bunch of stuff.
Awesome.
Now, I'll be candid with you. It's been a long time since I've actually done marketing and website conversion, so I'm not sure how much of my content in that area is still there. But I'm just giving you an example of how you take something that everybody is calling by one name and you just call it by a different name. And that helps to make you more in demand. It makes you more memorable because you put a different label on it than everybody else did.
I love it. All right, Adam. I appreciate it. Thank you so okay. much for being with us today, and we'll look forward to doing this again soon. And you guys have comments, post them in the comments below, or send me an email, because you can always reach me, and I'll give you my email address here. Same email address as always, robert@ultimatewealth.com has been the same email address now since, I'm guessing, 1999, literally. I haven't changed it, and go ahead and use it. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you have somebody who would refer to me as a potential guest for the show, and I'll definitely consider them. I consider everyone who passes my desk with that kind of information. I'll look and see if they're a good fit for the show. If they are, be happy to bring them on. And with that, we'll say thank you so much, and we'll do this again real soon. Thanks, everybody.